Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, the NBA playoffs continue with two crucial Game 5s featuring two teams from the West Coast. Lakers will be home, Crypto.com Arena at 10 p.m. Warriors at the Houston Rockets, 7:30. Both games will air on TNT as we head out on the fast break with AWOD talking all things NBA basketball.
Let's go. Let's play some basketball here.
We're going on a fast break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the fast break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
Stubb, I love how during NBA season you get all these former NFL guys commenting on the NBA playoffs. ESPN's Ryan Clark says, Tyrese Halliburton's dad should never be allowed at another NBA game again after he was on the court following the Pacers' win, staring down Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's a storyline we'll get to in a second, but how did Milwaukee lose this game? They had a massive lead, 30 to 13 at the end of the first quarter, 17-point advantage. They went into the break up by six, had a lead in the fourth quarter, goes to overtime. Stubb, they're up 118 to 111 with 40 seconds left in overtime because Gary Trent Jr. put on a show, hitting eight made three-point shots out of 17 attempts. Milwaukee, without Damian Lillard, looked like they were going to surprise the Pacers at home and send this series back to Milwaukee for a pivotal game six. But then Andrew Nembhard hits a three and Aaron Naismith hits a three and they get the stop, the steal, the ball to Halliburton. He drives the basket over Giannis and gets the game winning bucket. And after the game, Tyrese Halliburton's dad went onto the court to celebrate and was staring down Giannis. And I don't know who's in the wrong in this situation besides me thinking Giannis should have gotten off the court. I understand if Giannis feels like he wanted to go through his post-game routine of dapping up everybody on the opposing team, saying good game, thank you, and then getting in the locker room. But there's celebrations on the court, and the father of Tyrese Halliburton, Stubb, if you haven't seen the video, is just holding like a sign or a towel that says go Pacers, and he's just staring at Giannis about 5 feet from him. And eventually, the two get face-to-face to each other to the point that his forehead is touching the forehead of Giannis. Staring at each other. Looked like they were going to throw punches. Looked like we were going to get another Malice in the Palace for a second. They get separated.
I wouldn't get face-to-face with an NBA guy.
I wouldn't get face-to-face with Giannis, of all people.
Yeah,
the Greek freak? Are you kidding me? But great comeback by the Pacers. They win the game. Giannis, go home. You lost. I think you're overrated now. I really do. Your season's on the line, and you shoot 9 of 17. 30 points is cool. Gary Trent Jr. scored 33. You're not even the leading scorer on your team in a elimination game. I mean, I wonder, did we all crown him the greatest player in the NBA way too early after he won one championship? Because since then, Milwaukee hasn't gotten out of the first round. We know how much better Jokic is than Giannis. I think that Luka Doncic is better than Giannis. I think that, Tyrese Halliburton. Several of the Pacers have shown they're better than Giannis. I mean, look, he's not even one of the best players in the East. That's got to be a Celtic or a Cav. I mean, I feel stupid I picked the Bucks to win this series. 2 years in a row, I get burnt. Let's get to tonight's matchup. We'll start with the late game, Minnesota versus L.A. This is an elimination game for the Lakers. It's a game 7, even if it's a game 5. Let's take a listen to head coach of the L.A. Lakers, J.J. Redick.
Our focus is on game 5. We have to win game 5, and that's been conveyed by coaches, players. Tomorrow's a game 7 for us.
Is it a failure of a season, a first-year season for first-year coach J.J. Redick with the Lakers if they lose tonight and get eliminated in game 5? Absolutely. It's a failure unless they lose in game 7 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. You were the 3 seed here. You're favored in this matchup. You made a massive trade to boost your lineup by grabbing Luka Doncic here. And the Lakers were supposed to have the advantage in the clutch situations. But in this series, it's been Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves that have been the more clutch of the two teams. It is everything on the line for the Lakers tonight. And I expect them to get the win. And I do expect them to do it kind of in a dominant fashion tonight. Because, look, the Timberwolves have been the more clutch team this series. But I feel like the Lakers have really had some good starts to these games here. And it's all about how do the Lakers show up defensively. Can they hold the Timberwolves to 25 to 30 points per game? In every loss, the Timberwolves scored 116 to 117. In the one win, they held the Timberwolves to 85 points. That's like a 30-point difference right there. This game tonight comes down to the Lakers' defense. Not Luka scoring 40, not LeBron hitting shots, and the rest of the castmates like Austin Reeves hitting open threes. They have got to do a better job defensively on this Minnesota Timberwolves team. That's Anthony Edwards. That's Naz Reid, who's been just torching them off the bench every single game. That's leaving Jaden McDaniels open for three. That's the offensive rebounds that guys like Rudy Gobert are grabbing. And simply, don't let Anthony Edwards get a running start going downhill, because that's where he has been fantastic. He had 43 in their crucial Game 4 win, Game 5 tonight. The other Game 5 tonight, it is the Golden State Warriors. And I do think Houston will win this game. I just think that Houston is got too much energy and too much youth to go down at home. That building's going to be rocking. They've got a ton of really good playmakers. Like, that's what's really cool if you're a Wizards fan, is watching this Rockets team and seeing, oh wow, Alperen Sengun is young, Jalen Green's young, Amen Thompson's young, Tari Eason's young, Jabari Smith's young. And then you got your veterans, you know, Jeff Green, Steven Adams, and Fred Van Fleet and Dylan Brooks. But the young Houston Rockets, I think, will show up tonight and will get this victory here to make it into a game 6. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now, at 105.1 FM, I have really enjoyed these NBA playoffs. I just think this is what basketball fans want to watch. Defensive basketball. Every possession matters. How about let them play? They're not really calling fouls in a lot. I mean, the Knicks were getting beat up by the Pistons. Pistons win 106-103. Like, that's the kind of final score that I truly think basketball fans want to watch for the NBA playoffs. We don't want to watch 145 to 143. Give me a defensive battle where every possession matters, where the refs let them play, they let you drive to the basket and deal with contact. And oh yeah, I don't want to watch 53-point shots by either team. These are the kind of games I want to watch. It's been a really fun NBA postseason, and several teams have advanced into round 2. You could have 2 more tonight, because a win for the Timberwolves would clinch that series. A win for the Warriors would clinch their series. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. We're going to drive down Richmond Highway with the Czar Gary Hess when we return here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's Wednesday. It's 2:15, which means it's time to welcome in the Czar, Gary Hess.
What is happening, man?
What's going on with you?
You know, same old stuff, man. Got the bug to get outside and do stuff, particularly with my golf clubs.
Yeah, the weather has been great, and there's playoff sports to talk about. Let's get in
indeed.
The car and drive.
How are the roads looking?
Time for a drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess, sports director and the voice of high school football in Richmond, Virginia.
I understand there's traffic. You need to plan for that.
Let's drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess on AWOD Radio.
But I think we start with the two local products who had their name called in the 2025 NFL Draft. We'll start with Tyler Warren. I was surprised to see the Bears pass on him at 10. They go with another tight end. He ends up 14 to the Colts.
I talked to some people that said they were like, they viewed those two tight ends as 1 and 1A, but they had Warren ranked ahead of Colton Loveland just by the littlest bit. But I heard some analysis that I thought was interesting in that they said that Tyler Warren was a similar type tight end to Cole Kmet, who they already have, and Loveland was a little bit more of a receiver who has a tight end designation by his name.
Yeah.
And so that's why they made that differentiation. I still think they'd have been better off with Tyler Warren, but then again, I'll be the first to say I'm skewed because he's the 804 guy. Having said all of that, I think the Colts are a great landing spot for him. Whether it's Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones playing quarterback, I think having a, you know, the things that they can do with him, I think is just going to make him he's going to be a key part of that offense from day one.
Yeah, must watch TV, Colts games here in Richmond. We actually had a caller who said he's a Titans fan, lives in Richmond, and he's losing his mind because two local products now play for the Colts with Mo Alie-Cox, VCU basketball, and Tyler Warren.
Right, and it is, and that's, you know, two tight ends that's going to be a key part of their weaponry.
Problem is, who's throwing them the ball?
Yeah, that's going to be the question. I would not discount the fact that it could be Daniel Jones. And I think a fresh start and a fresh opportunity away from the Giants, even though he was elsewhere last year, I think a hard reset on Daniel Jones, and he could have a renaissance. I really do.
And then Travion Henderson lands with the New England Patriots.
I think this is a phenomenal landing spot for him. Because with the new coaching staff, the reset, they've done a good job in free agency and the draft. They're building around young quarterback Drake May. I think Travion Henderson has a bright future in New England. I think he's going to do very well. I think it's a great place for him to excel. And the Patriots have kind of turned the page and gone back to the future with this new coaching staff. I think it's going to be a really good time for him in New England.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel loves to run the football.
And, well, plus he plays tough. He's just a really good coach. It's a good time culturally, football culture, to be in New England. And yes, he does love to run the football. And Henderson, you know, could fight his way to the top of that draft, to that running back room very quickly.
It's funny how you say the culture in New England. It wasn't like that just 8-9 months ago when they were playing and losing under Gerard Mayo. You change coaches and you really can flip the culture.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that the Gerard Mayo experiment got 1 year and that was it, I think, you know. And it is, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. And Vrabel sitting out for a year, you know, I think everybody knew how good a coach he was in Tennessee. And, of course, he's got ties to New England, too, from his playing career. So this is... It's just things are moving in the right direction in New England. And, yeah, they had to be thrilled that Travion Henderson fell to them in the second round.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I'm looking forward to that. I think Vrabel's going to make the most of this second chance opportunity in New England.
And I will tell you this, and I told you this last week, both those kids, Tyler Warren and Travion Henderson, are not just going to make their teams better, they're going to make their teammates better. They are the kind of kids that walk in, have that leadership vibe, and are incredible teammates, great off-the-field guys, and they're going to make the franchises better and their teammates better, not just the teams on the field.
Other NFL draft storylines, Shedeur Sanders doesn't go to the fifth round. Steelers choose to wait and then draft Will Howard. Is Aaron Rodgers their future quarterback?
I think they're counting on Aaron Rodgers. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I just, that's what I think. I think Will Howard's an interesting developmental guy for the Steelers to take. But I think that whole draft process is with the understanding they think Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Shedeur Sanders, wasn't that an interesting situation? You know, I think... When push comes to shove, I have heard that there are a bunch of teams that took him completely off their draft board based on the vibe they got from interviews with him or just, you know, not wanting everything that comes with it or what have you for whatever various reasons. I think it's an interesting cautionary tale for prospects in the future and how they approach the pre-draft season.
Yeah, I'm absolutely not rooting against Shedeur Sanders. Wish him the best of luck. It was just a very interesting storyline this weekend. The craziest thing to me was that he kept showing up as best player available, and it's like, it's the fifth round now. I'm not sure he's the best player available.
Here's the other thing. You know, taking two quarterbacks in the same draft, it's not... And, of course, Dillon Gabriel was not a first-round quarterback, but it's very reminiscent of Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins. You know, you take Kirk Cousins, and to go back in the Wayback Machine with your burgundy and gold, they took Heath Shuler in the first round years ago, and then in the seventh round took Gus Frerotte. Well, who ended up being the guy that took a lot of snaps? Who took more snaps between Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins? So... You never know. You know, you got Joe Flacco there. You've got
Kenny Pickett,
and you've got Dillon Gabriel, and you've got Shedeur Sanders. There is a pathway for him. It's not like he's blocked by this, you know, stud quarterback room. He is going to have an opportunity, and we'll see what happens.
I'm not sure the opportunity happens his rookie year, because I think you're going to get in a situation where. All right, Flacco's got to get snaps, right? Then Pickett's got to get snaps. Then Dillon Gabriel's got to get snaps. All right, Shedeur, practice is over. Do you want to stay here and throw with the seventh-round wide receiver that we drafted? Because we just don't have time.
We'll see what happens, how that develops through OTAs, you know, once the coaches, you know, we'll see how all that develops.
But Do you personally think Dillon Gabriel's better than Shedeur Sanders?
I'm not prepared to answer that question either way. I think discounting Dillon Gabriel is at your peril, because he is older, played 6 years of college football. He is accomplished. But Shedeur Sanders, you know, it brings a lot to the table. You know, you can pick apart the mechanics with Shedeur Sanders, but you can't deny a 70% completion percentage. You just can't deny it.
Yeah.
And so I think they both have good points and bad points. I think neither is an ideal can't-miss NFL quarterback.
I agree.
And so the proof is still to be determined.
Yeah, I think Dillon Gabriel, better college quarterback. He had a little happy feet at times that I don't think is going to transfer to the NFL.
Right.
And we'll see if Shador can have that X-factor abilities like Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, make a guy miss. That could put him ahead of Dillon Gabriel.
Jaden Daniels has some of that it factor that you can't really measure at the combine. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you got to find those things too. And I don't know, where that it factor lied in this quarterback draft. I think the one player I saw that had that it, well, I think Tyler Warren's got a little bit of that it factor, but obviously the other it factor was Travis Hunter. I just think Travis Hunter, his ability to play both ways, and he had to think he was going to go to Cleveland. Suddenly he gets to go play in Florida. He's got to be thrilled about that.
Yeah, Jacksonville was very surprising with their moves.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they made some good moves. And, you know, I think the pressure's going to be on for Trevor Lawrence to step up his game. And I think he's capable of doing it. I think and with the new coaching staff, these are going to be interesting times for Jaguar Nation down in Jacksonville.
Yep, absolutely. They also got our guy Tootin from Virginia Tech there. So they've got a crowded running back room now as well that includes ETN. Let's talk some Puck Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know, I think the Washington Capitals, with a 3-1 lead, I think it would behoove them to go ahead and close it out tonight and get safely into the second round. Also, a little injury bug with the goalie, Logan Thompson. The fact that he avoided serious injury is huge because he's the hot hand between the pipes. It was cool to see Alex Ovechkin get the first overtime game winner of his career, playoff overtime game winner of his entire career in game one of this series. So the Caps are looking the part. The Carolina Hurricanes are looking the part. The Florida Panthers are looking the part. The Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be very compelling as the rounds go on. Out west, I think it's interesting as well. Winnipeg's the number one seed, still in a battle with St. Louis. I think Dallas could be a team to watch in the Western Conference.
But you're so right in terms of the Capitals. They've got to close it out tonight. You don't want to go back to Canada to face Montreal in a Game 6 and have this series keep going.
And then you lose Game 6 up there, and then Game 7, while it's on home ice, anything can happen in Game 7. So, yeah, finish it tonight. Don't leave anything to chance. I was interested in the comments made by Kenny Atkinson, who was the who's the former Richmond Spider, who was the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah,
and this is about the NHL, but it's what he said. He talked about his team showed a veteran presence by winning the first two games at home and then going down to Miami and continuing to play with urgency, not saying, oh, well, we've got a 2-0 lead, just showing the maturity to keep your foot on the gas and just don't let up, win those four games, reset, get ready for the next round. When you have a team that can approach things like that, it really helps in this playoff format, which are similar in the NBA and the NHL.
How exciting was that Devils-Hurricanes game? Double overtime, Canes win the series.
Sebastian Aho on the double overtime game winner. I think I heard shouts from our boy Zach as he got excited. But it's neat because, on the call is my good friend Mike Maniscalco, one of your predecessors here at Sports Radio 910 The Fan. And he's doing a great job as the voice of the Hurricanes. And exciting win for the Canes last night. And they are looking, like I was talking about with the Panthers, looking the part. I mean, like with the Caps, looking the part so far as a team to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference.
Quickly, we move over to the NBA. And I just think the postseason has been what I've wanted the regular season to be like the past 5 years. It's intense. It's defense. It's games going down to the wire. Every possession matters. This Pistons-Knicks series has been everything the basketball fans want. Pistons win 106-103. To me, that's the perfect score for a pro basketball game.
And the Pistons are a team that would have been very easy to have that we're just happy to be here thing after being away from the playoffs for so long and behind Cade Cunningham getting back into playoff form. But they have not approached this series like we're just happy to be here. And they're making the Nets work for everything they're getting. And the Knicks are going to need to take care of business because Boston and Cleveland and Indiana are now all into the second round already in the Eastern Conference. And I think, you know, some of those battles are going to be great. How will this Cleveland team with two UVA players playing key roles in DeAndre Hunter and Ty Jerome, how are they going to stand up? You know, they have the number one seed. Boston's the two seed, but Boston's, you know, the team that is wearing the crown. So
you're right, though, and you mentioned it. I think when it comes down to the Eastern Conference Finals, how long does it take both Boston and Cleveland to get through their next series? Who's going to be more beat up?
Right, and you know, let's not discount
The Pacers.
The Pacers, because they are playing at a very high level, coached by another UVA product, Rick Carlisle.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Rick Carlisle, and I love how he's back for part two with the Pacers.
Exactly. Hey, listen, you know, take a long look. Rick Carlisle has had an outstanding NBA coaching career.
Absolutely. Tonight, two Western Conference games, and these two series have been so much fun to watch. The Rockets, the two seed in trouble against Golden State tonight, down 3-1. The T-Wolves, the sixth seed, feeling pretty good against the Lakers.
So far in that Lakers-Minnesota series, Minnesota is the six and the Lakers are the three, but Minnesota looks like the better team.
Correct.
So far in this series. Golden State, the way Golden State played in the play-in and right down the end of the regular season, getting Jimmy Butler back, it was kind of predictable that the Rockets were going to have their hands full.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens with the rest of the series. But, you know, hey, listen. He is, what is he? Is Steph Curry like 37 now? Is that how old he is?
I don't think he's that old. But let me check on that.
He's getting up there. You know, the whole point of that.
37, you nailed it.
Okay, so Steph Curry is 37 years old, and the years are running out. We need to appreciate what Steph Curry is.
It feels like this could be his last dance, his last big run, maybe to the Western Conference Finals.
You know, and so, you know, the LeBron era has been so long, and Steph Curry now 37 years old. These guys have had long and storied NBA careers, and we need to appreciate them and enjoy them while they're still here.
That's a great point, because nobody expected Golden State to win Game 3 when Jimmy Butler was out, and Steph Curry had 36 points, 5 of 13 from 3. Butler comes back the next game. Now they're up 3-1. But that game was so impressive.
This just in, Curry still has it. Curry showed that in the Olympics last year.
Yeah.
When the gold medal was on the line, he was ridiculous. And, you know, he is, you know, for those of us who are long-timers here in Virginia, some of his shooting exploits brings back memories of Del Curry, his dad, when he played at Virginia Tech and in the NBA for years with the Hornets. So he got his shooting touch, honestly, because Dell could fill it up, too.
All right, lastly, Phillies beat the Nats. Weird ending, huh?
Weird ending. You know, I've told you before many times, as a Phillies fan, the bullpen is the bane of my existence. And guess what? They get a two-run lead in the eighth inning last night. What happens at the top of the ninth? Lowe hits a three-run homer off of Ryan Kirkering. Great. And so then the Nats bullpen is apparently no better.
Yeah, right.
Apparently no better. A couple of things happen. The winning run gets to third base and then scores on a wild pitch. So, and a little better throw from the outfield in the tying run could have been thrown out and the game could have gone completely differently. But, weird ending last night, but a wild pitch ends the game, and the Phillies get the W. Let's just say they get the W despite their bullpen.
Yeah, that's important because the Mets are starting to pull away in the NL East.
Yeah, the Mets, they're starting to pull away, but at the same time, you know, there's 130 games left.
Yeah.
So let's bear in mind, you know, the baseball season is a marathon, which is why it's not too late for the Orioles to get up off the mat and do something because they're very talented, but they've got questions to answer. Got a huge win against the Yankees night before last, but then just got housed by the Pinstripers last night.
Gary, always appreciate the time.
Yep.
That was a drive down Richmond Highway with the Czar, Gary Hess. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
Yeah.
Let's drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess on AWOD Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Just drove down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. We've been talking about RFK 2.0, the Commanders' return to the home site of RFK, hopefully by the start of the 2030 NFL season. Joining us right now to run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia, it's Lane Casadante. What's up, Lane?
Hey, good afternoon, Adam. How's everybody?
Doing pretty good here, and we were talking about the new stadium at RFK. How about the new stadium here at the Diamond District with CarMax Park? It's so cool when you go out to see the Squirrels play this year, the 40th season at the Diamond. You can see the work being done right next door.
Yeah, and it's really starting to take shape now. You can see the skeleton of what, you know, how it's going to be enclosed. They still are finishing up some of the touches on how the inside of it is going to look, just like Kennett. Not anything major, but just, you know, do we want this here? Do we want that there? But, you know, you can see the footprint of it. And they're a little bit ahead of schedule, which is fantastic. And it really gets you even more excited for what's to come next year when you can really start to see it take shape.
Absolutely. Lane Casadante with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Lane's the sports director at WTVR, CBS6, and has been in here in Richmond for a long time. And Lane, so I'll defer to you on this. How much do you think Richmonders cared about the RFK announcement?
Oh, I think quite a bit. I think especially the older fans of the franchise from back in their glory days. I went to, I think, two games at RFK before they moved up to Landover. And it was an old stadium back then. I mean, in the mid-90s, it was already old. But it was neat because it was kind of a baseball stadium. We used to put our equipment in one of the dugouts. But it felt like the fans were sitting on top of you. And for fans who only know kind of, you know, the model stadium from, let's say, 95 to 2005 or so, they all look the same, right? For years it was Riverfront, Three Rivers, and the Vet in Philly were all looked exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Well, then you had, you know, the stadium in Charlotte and in D.C. and in a couple other places, a giant stadium, for example, they all looked exactly the same. There wasn't a lot of character to them. There wasn't anything that made one stand out from the other, other than maybe the fans, but even the fans can only overcome so much with a facility. So I think now that they, and RFK had that, you know, it had a lot of character, had a lot of personality, was only, I think, 57,000 fans. It was by no means the biggest in the NFL, but it felt like the mezzanine would shake when the fans would really get excited, and you could see it bouncing up and down. You really thought the old place was going to cave in on you half the time when the fans got excited. And that is an atmosphere that you just never had in Landover, partly because of what happened on the field, but partly because of the way stadiums were built for, you know, a good 20, 25 years in the history of the league.
Yeah, incredible run from 61 to 97. We talked about this with Gary Hess as well. George Allen brings success to the team, and then in comes Joe Gibbs and all of the 80s and early 90s, and that place was rocking at RFK. I told Gary, like, my dad took me to one or two Redskins games at RFK, but I have more vivid memories of DC United and the Washington Nationals before Nats Park was built at RFK. Gary also pointed to the character of RFK. Can you give me a little bit more details? Is it simply the ground shaking and people jumping up and down? What was the character of RFK?
Well, yeah, it was that. It was the place that where you knew that they had a lot of success. It was the place where I got to go back. I got to remember. I'm pretty sure they won, you know, at least a couple of their NFC titles there.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. But you really felt like there wasn't a bad seat in the house, like you were right on top of the field. And you could put up with a lot of things because, A, the team won. Winning cures a lot of stuff. But, B, it was much easier to get to than, is it Northwest Stadium now? I'm always going to call it FedEx Field. But it was easier to get to. A lot of people that have, that I've talked to in the last week have all these memories of tailgating out in grass fields out behind the park. And I know you do that at every stadium, but people just seem to have more vivid and more colorful and better memories from when the team was at RFK. And I honestly think that has a lot to do with Coach Gibbs and John Riggins and Joe Theismann and the Smurfs and all those guys that were so successful. When Jaden Daniels, if he's still here in 5 years and they're still winning and they get into a new stadium, will it be the same? Probably not. It'll be different, but I don't know that you'll ever be able to recapture the atmosphere and the character that you would have had at a place like RFK just because they don't build stadiums like that anymore.
Yeah, no, well said, Lane, but it'll be much better than FedEx Field Northwest Stadium because of everybody's hate for that owner, Dan Snyder. Lane Cassadante with us here on the Dean Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You know, we haven't gotten your thoughts on the Commanders draft class, and we'll start with their first and second round pick. NFL Network said Trey Amos, one of the five biggest sleepers of the second round, could have been a first round pick. And Josh Connerly, the tackle out of Oregon, shocked me. Completely unsexy pick being offensive line, but should help Jaden Daniels develop for sure.
Well, and when you have a generational talent like Jaden Daniels has shown himself to be in 1 year, you qualify it by saying it's only been a year, but you're going to want as much in front of him as possible, right? That's why you go out and you trade a couple of draft picks to get a Laramie Tunsil, and that's why you take an offensive lineman in the first round. We were screaming for this the last couple of years with this organization. Please do something with that offensive line. It doesn't need to be a patchwork every single year. I swear to God, I think 1 year Jay Gruden was getting guys that were, guarding the 7-Eleven down the street, just literally pulling guys off the street to play offensive line because it got to be so bad up there with injuries and just ineffectiveness. So you don't mind that pick. You don't mind the fact that they really want to bolster their defensive secondary because, honestly, I understand his credentials coming in, but we have not seen a lot from Marshawn Lattimore yet. You know what he can do. You haven't seen it yet in D.C. He's got to be able to stay on the field, so I understand that pick as well. I was surprised they didn't. Everybody thought they needed an edge rusher, and I'm not sure that they addressed that just yet. Maybe they're working on something before these mini camps start. Or maybe they're just happy with the front seven that they have on the defensive side, and they wanted to bolster other areas of the team first.
Lane, before we let you go, I got to ask you about the local products. Tyler Warren, Travion Henderson. Warren lands with the Colts. Henderson, perfect scenario in my mind to play for the Patriots.
Yeah, I heard you and Gary talking about both of them, and Gary said, they're quality guys. He said, not only are you going to make your team better, but your teammates better, they're also going to make their communities better. These are two guys who are all about service over self. I think that's why. And Travion, he battled a lot of injuries in Columbus. And I don't know that even, winning a national title and doing everything that he did, I don't think they got the very best of him, in the 4 years, because I don't think he was 100% healthy the whole time. I think he can be even better than we saw in Columbus. And Tyler Warren, he's that guy. He's the guy that you saw last year at Penn State. He's the guy that, he admitted, when I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, he admitted the blocking part of that role as a tight end. While he won't be asked to do it all the time, he does understand that's an area where he's probably going to have to get a lot better, because in the NFL, he is going to have to do multiple things. And, if there's an injury or if there's a certain package where it doesn't call for him to release right away and he's got to stay in and run block, he does know he needs to work on that. but you won't find two kids that are going to work harder to be the very best version of themselves for their new teams.
Lane, always appreciate you taking the time to join the show. We've got to cover a Colts game so we can interview Tyler Warren and Mo Ali Cox. It's so cool.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's a pretty good tight end room for the 804, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah. Lane, any other local stories that we haven't gotten to yet?
Oh, man.
Did anybody else get drafted from the 804?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of guys that got, well, Jalen Lane, not exactly from the 804, but Virginia Tech, you know, he'll be up in D.C. this year, and a lot of people are very excited about him being a complimentary piece to Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel. A lot of people are excited for him coming in, so that's one of the guys that we're going to be watching. And then there were a handful of guys from the 804 and from area teams that got tryouts.
Yeah.
Or got invites to rookie camp, I should say. Excuse me. So those all get started next week, and we'll get a better idea of how those guys do. This is their shot. It's all they can ask for. And there is plenty of history of these, you know, UDFAs and rookie camp invites actually finding their way on a roster.
Yeah, and with Jalen Lane, I think he becomes the Commanders' best punt returner, you know, day one. The day he was drafted, he's the best punt returner we have on the roster. Does Lane Casadante from CBS 6 have a hot Shador Sanders take? Do you care at all?
I will say this. The argument about collusion is garbage, because just take 33 random people off the street and you're not going to get them to all agree on one thing, much less 33 billionaires who are used to, you know, thinking they have all the answers. And honest to God, you know, if Lee Harvey Oswald would have ran a 4.25, the Cowboys would have given him a tryout. So the NFL is not necessarily, you know, concerned if you can play. I think Shador mirrors the, in a way, I heard them bring up Colin Kaepernick, and I think it mirrors that in a way, but not the way people are thinking. I think, you know, if you're going to bring the circus to town, you better be top of the charts on everything. While I think Shador is a tough kid, and while I think he can probably find a role in the NFL, I'm not sure just yet he's shown that he plays well enough to overcome the circus that they all expect him to bring. So if he can find a way to balance those two out a lot more than they are right now, he'll do just fine.
Lane, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
All right, Adam. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So the NBA playoffs continue today with two West Coast Game 5s. Houston, Golden State, and the Lakers against the Timberwolves. In the East, we saw Indiana defeat the Bucks, Knicks, Pistons. Pistons win to force a game six. But we did see the conclusion of the Heat series against the Cavs, and the Cavs won easily. Well, according to Fox Sports, the Cavs sweep over the Miami Heat is the most lopsided series in NBA history. 138-83, the win in game four of their series to complete the sweep in a dominating win was more than just a complete sweep of the Heat. The 55-point win marks the fourth largest margin in NBA history and the most lopsided series ever, with the Cavaliers outscoring the Heat by a combined 122 points in four games. The Cavs advance to the Eastern Conference semis. Well, they will face off against the Pacers, and that will start at the this weekend. So it will be the Pacers now against the Cavs. Most lopsided series in NBA history. Goes back to the point that I've been making for months. 20 teams making it into the postseason is absurd. All right? Well, then you have the play-in tournament. That is such a waste of time because these eight seeds that advance into the play-in tournament, they're not taking on these one seeds. And so that's why I've been saying, let's go to maybe a 12-team NBA playoffs. Get rid of the conference seedings and just say, best 12 teams, you're in. And if you're the bottom two teams, instead of fighting for a lottery, make them play against each other, and the winner can actually win the lottery rather than it being decided. You know, the future of the Wizards franchise is going to be decided by a couple of damn ping pong balls, and one of them will be Cooper Flagg or not. The NBA is also considering, according to ESPN, making the All-Star Game international. A major shakeup. It's so needed. The All-Star festivities were just awful this year. And that the idea for a 2026 All-Star format would be USA versus the world comes from an idea that Adam Silver mentioned. The league is exploring ways for players to represent their countries or regions, inspired by the excitement of the international competitions like the Olympics. Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Giannis, Victor Wembanyama could all be in the international talent pool, with guys like Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant representing Team USA. They should have done this years ago, because now Team World is too good for Team USA, in my mind. I mean, if Team World will also include Team Canada, Team France, Team Germany, Team Spain, those are some of the best players in the NBA. Outside of LeBron James and Steph Curry, the top 10 are pretty much all guys from other countries. Jamal Murray, Canada. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Canada. Luka Doncic, he's like Lithuanian. Nikola Jokic, Serbia. Giannis, Greece. Victor Wembanyama, France. They're all international.
That's a little bit better of a team.
It would be fun to watch because Team USA would get smoked.
Well, everyone wants the NHL. Like, the NHL did it.
They did it with perfect. Their Four Nations Cup.
The only problem with
Four Nations is you didn't get Russia. You could have easily...
And there's ways to adjust it.
And they're screwed because of the war, but you could have easily said, Finland, I'm sorry. What do they call them? Finnish? You're finished. You're not good enough. Team Russia would have destroyed Team Finland.
Like Eastern Europe.
I mean,
you could.
No, but like Sweden is good enough. The Swedes have been good at hockey my entire life.
A couple of countries.
Canada,
I think that's fine.
Good at hockey.
Yeah.
Right? USA on the rise, maybe, for hockey.
I mean, this
Finland,
works.
Not good enough.
This could fix every all-star but football. There's nothing we can do about football, really.
The only answer for football is just doing like special games, like the punt, pass, kick competition.
I don't know.
And even that's kind of a waste of time. But Hokie Steve paid to go to it. I mean, I'm still blown away by that. Make sure I ask him about this on Monday. Why did he pay all that money to go see Lamar Jackson throw a football into a flag football game?
Me and Hokie Steve are the two fans of football, and I didn't even watch last year. I was, like, busy.
Yeah. We closed the show by spotlighting the biggest sporting event of the night. We call that segment Game Day on the Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is Game Day, home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on Game Day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like game day in this game day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Gang day.
The Caps have pushed the Habs to the brink. Can they close the series tonight on home ice? Alexei Protas is questionable to return for the Capitals in Game 5. He's missed the first four games of the NHL postseason. Capitals come back from behind, down 2-1 on the road to win 5-2, thanks to a couple empty net goals to take a dominating 3-1 lead back to Washington, D.C. Game 5 tonight. Rock it, Stubb! Rock the red, baby! There's nothing better than playoff hockey, especially when your favorite team is included. And Coach Carberry has done such an amazing job of mixing the young Caps, the Connor McMichaels of the world, with the veterans there of Tom Wilson, Alex Ovechkin. I mean, just love the roster that he's put together here with youth and veteran experience, and they've been playing great. Thompson in goal has been fantastic in the postseason. It's so cool to see he's found, you know, second life here in the postseason. So, yeah, that's my choice on game day. I'm watching the Caps hopefully clinch round two appearance tonight with a win over the Canadiens. There's two more hockey games that will feature game fives. Could the Florida Panthers take care of the Lightning with a Game 5 win tonight? They're up 3-1, and then the series is tied 2-2 between the Blues and the Jets. Stubb, it's your choice on game day.
Being a Baltimore fan is getting embarrassing.
It is.
Right now.
Well, I wanted to be nice to you today, but I almost dedicated a whole segment to the Yankees' record. They hit three straight bombs to start the game yesterday, five in the first inning. I think they won 15-3 overall.
15-3. And I was watching it at trivia last night. It was brutal. I was having a terrible time. I don't know what happened. We knew this was going to happen with the pitching. Everyone saw this coming. Yeah. I don't know why we can't hit anymore.
Yeah.
We just can't. It's the same roster, minus like one guy. It is the exact same, and no one is doing anything anymore.
Is Jackson Holliday striking out left and right?
He has like top four batting average right now.
Really?
Like he's not that bad. I mean, he had a grand slam.
Is Adley Rutschman as good as everybody thought he was going
Rutschman
to be?
Rutschman and Gunnar are having a bad start.
And that's the
Both
thing.
Both of them are doing
they, There was talk that Rutschman, who's now 27 years old, was going to be one of the next stars of baseball.
And he had two good seasons.
Yeah. What's he batting
Gunnar
right now?
Is incredible,
like below 200, or is it not that bad?
I don't think it's that bad, but yeah. it's not good. Cedric Mullins is the star of our team right now, and he's good, but like... It's terrible. It is so bad. So I'm not picking them. I'm just going to also pick the Caps.
Yeah. All right. So there are two good NBA playoff games tonight. Like I said earlier, I like the Warriors to win this series. I like Houston to win this game tonight. I like the Timberwolves to win this series. I like the Lakers to win this game tonight. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye, drive you home here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I'll see you guys tomorrow on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.